And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Good evening, everybody. It's Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the left coast, or the west coast, if you'd rather. It's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. I tell you every week, if you want to do this, go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. You can follow me at Tammy J. That's T-A-M-I. Jay, we've got quite a few of you that listen faithfully every week, and I'm very thankful for that. Now, my first guest tonight is Dr. Ann Truong. Dr. Ann Truong is the sole founder and owner of Truong. She'll have to tell me if I'm pronouncing that right. I could be all wet, but the Truong.
No, you're doing great.
I'm doing okay. Oh, thank you. The Truong Rehabilitation Center. Dr. Truong has extensive experience in the non-operative management of musculoskeletal injuries using state-of-the-art techniques such as trigger point injections, regenerative therapies, ultrasound-guided injections to joints and muscles, medical acupuncture, osteopathic manipulation. My goodness, she has so much in her bio that I probably could read the bio for the first half hour. So just go to the show page and check it out. She's board certified in physical medicine, rehab, and electrodiagnostic medicine. And on January 26, 2018, she was awarded Entrepreneur of the Year in Fredericksburg by the Fredericksburg Regional Chamber of Commerce. Dr. Ann Truong, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, your story, oh my goodness. Did you always want to go into medicine? How did that happen?
My grandfather was a physician, and my father wanted to be, but due to circumstances, wasn't able to. So, yeah, in a way, I've always wanted to become a doctor, and I did one of those one-track thing where I went from high school to medical school and then to training and didn't take a gap at all. And so, yeah, to answer your question, I've always wanted to do it. In fact, I was going to be an OBGYN.
Oh.
And then I changed my mind at the last minute and become the specialty that I have, which is really called physical medicine and rehab, or called a physiatrist, meaning a specialist in the musculoskeletal system. So essentially, we're kind of like the non-operative part of the orthopedic surgeon, where we treat orthopedic injuries with more on a non-surgical perspective.
Got it. Very, very interesting, because anybody that's ever had to go to an orthopod and has been told to do surgery, whether it's the back or what have you, that's a pretty big deal. And sometimes invasive surgery may be necessary, but there are times when I've heard of back surgeries and I thought, gosh, I wish there was another way, another route for these people, because the surgery in and of itself on the back can have a lot of difficult side effects in my experience over the years. One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I'm always interested because I am the granddaughter of Norwegian immigrants. I get that in all the time. Everybody teases me. But I'm assuming Truong, is that Chinese?
No, it's actually Vietnamese.
Vietnamese. Oh, my goodness. So when did your family come to this country?
Well, we came in 1975 after the Vietnam War ended.
And, wow.
So my father was the chief of police of Saigon, which was which is now Ho Chi Minh City.
Yes.
And so we came here when like one day before the fall of Saigon, really. So I was 8 years old when I came over here, and we originally stayed in Connecticut, and then we moved to California, because Connecticut was too cold. So I'm first generation Vietnamese, and since then I've had two children who were born in Houston, Texas.
Wow. Well, you know, this is really getting more interesting all the time, because Dr. Truong, I was part of a movie effort called Ride the Thunder. It's a fantastic movie. People can watch it free on Amazon Prime. And I was a social media and marketing gal for it. Ride the Thunder was taken from a book written by Rich Botkin. Rich Botkin was a Marine. And the book itself is about the Vietnam War, in particular, the Easter Offensive, which was bigger than the Tet Offensive, and it follows a couple South Vietnamese officers who were trained in America and worked with their American counterparts, and it also follows those Americans that were Marines, like John Ripley and so forth. And in a lot of our events, Anne, we had these wonderful folks that had come over in some of those first waves. Like there was Operation Something Winds down in Southern California, thousands of Vietnamese that came over in that. And we met a lot of people that had come from Vietnam, had escaped and made their home here in America, still loved Vietnam, but really loved their adoptive country. And Rich Botkin, the executive producer, the writer of the book, and the movie did quite well for an independent movie. It was phenomenal. But he always said that the Vietnamese that came here and became naturalized citizens were kind of patriots on steroids, because most of them were so hardworking, opened businesses, loved America, more so than some people that were born here and took it for granted.
Wow. And I totally agree with that, because in my book that I wrote, which is Erectile Dysfunction Fix, for the introduction, I said that I am living the American dream. That was my first sentence, because It described how I came here as a Vietnamese refugee in 1975, and how my family was very prosperous and affluent. But when we came here, we had nothing but the clothes on our back. Uh-huh. And, you know, my dad had a college degree. He spoke five languages, but, you know, he worked as a grocery clerk. And my mom has been a pamper housewife all her life, and came here and was doing housekeeping in a local hotel.
Wow.
But they had to do what they had to do to raise me and my six brothers and sisters. And we all live in a three-bedroom apartment with the eight of us together. But, you know, we did what we could. Everybody chipped in. And those that were 16 years or older were working and supporting the whole entire family. We had one bank account. And instead of multiple bank accounts, everybody that worked put into one account and chipped in. And everybody did well. So, you know, we are the epitome of the American dream, where you can come here with nothing, but through hard work and through perseverance, you can really achieve your dream.
Wow. Okay. I just love that. I'm going to have to share this with Rich Botkin, because it's pretty amazing. I was so involved in that movie for a year. And one of the things we wanted to do with that, Dr. Truong, was restore the honor to the Americans and the Vietnamese that were fighting the communists, and that it was an honorable thing to do, and that those men that went over there, they fought for something good in trying to liberate the Vietnamese from those communists, and yet A lot of those men came back here to America, were spat upon and disrespected. It was awful, and so we wanted to restore, and we had several ceremonies where we had officers from Vietnam that had fought side by side with our American guys, and then the officers that were Americans. And we did ceremonies where they came, they shook each other's hands. They ended up, there were tears, there were hugs. It was simply amazing and a healing sort of thing. And everybody's eyes were open to both sides and what happened. And I think there was a huge appreciation on both sides for the Vietnamese and the Americans that went and fought in that effort.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. I look forward to seeing it. I wrote down the name called Ride the Thunder.
Ride the Thunder. It's taken from a Teddy Roosevelt speech from 1914, where he talks about the people that go into the storm and dare to do great things and ride the thunder, as opposed to the timid souls who don't even try. And he was talking about those men that fight battles and other people that are willing to go to the front lines, as it were. And it just seemed like a great title for a book about the Vietnam War, where, you know, many of the Vietnamese, one of the officers in the book that is the chief protagonist from South Vietnam, he fought for 14 years and then was in a re-education camp for years. And unlike Americans that had maybe 2 years of duty, I know I'm talking a little bit too much about this, but I think you'd appreciate it that the Vietnamese did not have an end of their tours. They fought and they fought and they fought. And we see that when they come to America, that's how hard they've been working.
Right. Like for instance, my father has been in the military since when he was in his early 20s after he finished college.
Wow.
So that was, he went to college, but that was his career. And he had 12 siblings, and six of them were boys, and they all went into the military.
Wow.
And two of them died during the war, and two of them actually passed away in concentration camp. That didn't make it out in 1975, and they were imprisoned for 14 years. And actually, when they were released, they died of liver cancer shortly thereafter because of the deplorable condition that they have to live under. I totally sympathize with where he's coming from, and we appreciate where we are. We appreciate every moment, everything that we have in this blessed country that we have, every luxury that we have, and because we could have been worse, you know? We could be in a worse place than we are, and I stress that in my book that I am the evidence that the American dream still exists and
my
very
goodness.
Much ongoing. And my husband is in the same scenario as well. He's also Vietnamese and also a refugee with his family as well. And they're very successful. The whole family is very successful.
Wow.
As well. So we don't take anything for granted. We work for everything we have, and we appreciate everything that we have.
That's such a tremendous attitude, and I do think it's missing in some of the younger generations of Americans nowadays. Since I was raised by immigrant grandparents quite a bit, I was with them a lot. Our extended family was quite close. I really learned that work ethic and to appreciate this country. In that we've got a couple minutes before the break, and I'm going to get into your specialty line after the break, but you attended Baylor University, correct?
Yes, I attended Baylor College of Medicine.
Okay, that's, I have a lot of friends that went to Baylor. If you're not familiar with Baylor, it's a fairly conservative university. It's in Texas. It was established as a Christian university, but it's just gotten very, very large. It's a tremendous, tremendous university. There are some things that we're going to get into that you do that's a specialty, but you also do a number of things such as trigger point injections and regenerative therapies. Would you give us a quick definition of that?
Well, what my focus is that I use my own patient stem cells and to help treat their pain, and also using the stem cell for aesthetic and also for sexual to treat sexuality as well. So to put it in a scope, I do quite a bit. But my focus is really more in anti-aging and focusing on living the best quality of life that you have without surgery.
Wow.
So, So I use multiple modality, multiple treatment to treat your problem without surgery. And the regenerative medicine means that I use your own body's stem cells, such as your blood, called platelet-rich plasma, to help you heal yourself. And
wow.
Whether that will be an area of injury, like, you know, a rotator cuff or for back pain or for neck pain or knee pain, or and then also using that healing capability to make you look younger, get rid of all those hated wrinkles, but at the same time can also regenerate muscles and tissues, you know, in the different body parts as well, too, to enhance, to treat sexual dysfunction.
Wow. I think you're kind of ahead of the curve, because the AMA is very slow with a lot of different treatments, and you've got some very interesting stuff coming on. We're going to talk more about this after the break. I'll be back with my guest, Dr. Anne Truong. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. They're a custom firearms and firearms finishing shop located in Phoenix, Arizona, found online at robarguns.com. I talk about them every week. They are fabulous. Every week I hear testimonials from guys all over the country that are in law enforcement or the military that Robar is their go-to place. If you want the best gunsmithing, the best finishes, bar none, not to mention their custom firearms that are fabulous. They have some custom 1911s. They have a custom semi-auto rifle that is the Robar Polymer 15. Yes, polymer upper and lower receivers. This rifle comes in at about 5 pounds, which is incredible. The military has tested it. Other law enforcement have tested it. It lasts. It's amazing. So if you want to check out some of these custom guns, if you want to check out the custom finishes that they have that are proprietary and simply amazing, go to robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson, joined by my guest, Dr. Anne Truong. If you're just joining the show, Dr. Truong is the sole founder and owner of the Truong Rehabilitation Center. She's been named to top doctors in 2012, 2013, 2014 by Northern Virginia Magazine. Just an amazing person. You need to read the show page to see her entire bio, because it's just accolade after accolade. Dr. Truong, you're the author of Erectile Dysfunction Fix, and you've helped thousands of men to erase erectile dysfunction and enjoy intimate relationships. And trust me, and I laughed about this during the break. Anyone that knows me will be shocked that I'm talking about this. I'm a pretty conservative Christian gal. I'm single, so this isn't the stuff that I think about that much, but it could be a great thing. You've got husbands and wives out there who are dealing about this or with this. Dr. Truong, tell us, how in the world did you get from the pain management and everything, the rehab and everything you do, to helping fellas with erectile dysfunction?
Right. Well, it all kind of started after I graduated college. I was actually working in the liver transplant department in the University of California in San Francisco. And I was the one that did all the petri dishes for the liver transplant, and trying to discover how these stem cells work, how the transplant take. And I was doing that on mice. So my interest started then, and I had this big interest in stem cells and how it worked. So then I went to med school and went to the whole thing. And then when I came out, I did my residency in physical medicine and rehab, because that's what I feel my calling was. So I was treating patient pain, and I was using medication, and sometimes I'll use pain medicine, and I'll use, you know, your traditional cortisone injection. And I feel like I'm not really doing my patient long-term benefit. I'm really giving them short-term satisfaction, but they always come back and have the same problem, and sometimes they get worse. So then I started learning acupuncture, and I wanted to do something that will help my patient long-term and really help them heal. And from acupuncture, it opens up my eyes on really treating the whole patient as a whole and not as a symptom. And you have to take account into what's going on in their with them in their lives, and what else is going on with them from head to toe, and the healing part, the holistic healing part, and learning about chi and how the energy pattern travel in your body and how it works. So that led me to really dive into doing more stem cells, learning more about it, and I started doing that in 2005, when I started doing platelet-rich plasma, as really what that is using the patient's own blood to help heal themselves, and whether that will be an injury or pain. But I find that when you do that, the relief lasts longer. It actually treats the source of the problem. So from there, I started treating joints and muscles and tendons, like rotator cuffs and knees and hips and spine, and you know, I learned that you can also do platelet-rich plasma to the face to help regenerate new skin cells. And then I took that one further, and I realized that most of my patients are men, and that they have issues with erectile dysfunction as well. So then we started doing the platelet-rich plasma into the genitalia, male genitalia, and find out that it started, you know, to treat erectile dysfunction.
Wow.
To really treat the source of the problem. Again, treating the source of the problem instead of medicating the problem. And with the opioid epidemic now, and how is taking over our country, you know, I'm more convinced that we need to seek better solutions and medication at this time. And I think that doing stem cell therapy is the way to go.
Wow. That is pretty darn fascinating. And anybody that's seen a picture of you, you're very beautiful. Gosh, I wonder if she uses any of that on her face because she looks so great. But I was reading about what you do. So, the pain cosmetically that it helps people. And then with ED, it is pretty amazing. I think that the body does have great potential in our own stem cells. And these are a good thing about this, too, is we're not talking about stem cells from babies. We're talking about a person's own plasma and stem cells.
Right. Because your body has the capability to heal yourself, but it doesn't know what to do. You have your blood, which is your own stem cell that can heal yourself. Like, for instance, if you cut yourself, and the blood will go to the area, it creates a clot, and then your blood releases a stem cell called growth factor that actually call in other cells into the area to seal the cut and create the scar. So we do that every day. We just don't know it. But however, when you have an area of pain or an injury, like for instance, your knee and it has arthritis, and then if you fall and you injure it, that area doesn't have blood supply. So the blood can't come in there to help heal it, to help repair it. So what I do is I just get your blood and isolate out the good part, the healing factor, like the platelet-rich plasma, inject it into the knee to stimulate the blood to heal and repair the knee. So it sounds simplistic, but it is. It's putting something the good part into the area that needs it and stimulate the healing response.
Wow.
And so it is your own blood, so there is no rejection or side effects other than that. But the art and is to really determine, how much to take out, where to put it in, and which patient will do best and which patient will need more than one treatment. So that's really all depends upon how your body, how your body habits are, and what other medical condition you have, and how you take care of yourself. Really, it's how you take care of yourself really affects how you heal.
Yes,
so
wow.
The better shape you are in, the better you heal.
Exactly. Dr. Truong, would you tell everyone, what is your website where they can get in contact with you for anything, for any of the above we've been talking about?
Right. It's a website. It's www.truongrehab. It's spelled truongrehab.com.
Okay. Truongrehab.com. It is a great website. I've looked it over. I'm just intrigued by everything you do. And it was nice getting to know you. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be on the show.
It was wonderful, Dr. Truong. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Joshua Evans. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for business nation. Systems provide an excellent management tool, going far beyond the obvious safety and security benefits. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still an easy reach personal service. With upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and same-day virtual visits, you can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call them 800-440-1662. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Joshua Evans. Joshua is the author of Enthusiastic You, Rediscover Your Passion and Energy, Tools for Success in Your Daily Life. And he's also a motivational speaker. Joshua has worked with hundreds of companies, from global firms to small businesses, including, check this lineup, Hilton, Remax, ConocoPhillips, Sheraton, the University of Houston, Maersk International, Renaissance, Green Bank, etc. He helps both people and organizations build the right kind of culture as the corporate culture cleaner. Say that 10 times fast, I dare you. Joshua knows that engagement leads to happier employees and more profit for the company. And when employees care, they do better work for your clients and customers. Joshua Evans, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tammy. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you bet. I was looking at some of your stuff, and you are definitely a speaker extraordinaire. So you seem to be speaking all the time, everywhere. You were the MC and organizer for TEDx Sugarland. What was TEDx Sugarland? Is that related to those TED's speeches I've seen online?
They sure are, in fact. So TED has their normal speeches through their organization, and what they do is they license out their format. And so TEDx is actually an independently organized TED event. And so I actually received a license for them several years ago, and we decided to do one. And so I kind of approached it with, we'll call it blind optimism and naivete. And I decided, hey, I'm going to do this. And so I applied for the license through their arduous process and going through all of their, I guess, their rigmarole and their licensing efforts. When they finally presented me with the license, I said, okay, great. I have no idea how to put this thing on. And so we ended up looking for lots of sponsors, like the city of Sugar Land and several people around the city that we're in, to help us sponsor the event, because it's a very expensive event, but you can't really charge money for it, because the goal is to bring something back to the community, to take really neat ideas worth sharing and open up that in a forum that's open to the public. And so that's what we've been doing for the past 3 years. And it's more of a philanthropic effort for me. And it's a whole lot of fun. Since I'm from this community, it's really neat to bring just phenomenal ideas to the public. And so that's what I've been doing with TEDx Sugarland.
Wow. So, Joshua Evans, tell us your story. I was kind of interested in this because I did some training in this area at one point when I was in between gigs, and that's with credit card processing. It's not an easy deal. Tell us your story.
Well, it's funny. It starts with credit card processing.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. So credit card processing, when I first got out of college, I didn't have a job lined up. I was one of those quintessential millennials. So I'm one of the oldest millennials you'll find. I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm really the oldest millennial that still uses like the back in my day kind of a obligatory comment. And I mean, I was tied to a house line that had like a long cord that we still used to call people when I was a child. But being one of the oldest millennials, I got out and I didn't have a plan for what I wanted to do with my life. I studied communications, and I really love that subject just because it's so versatile and it really applies to anything in life. If you can communicate well, then you're going to be okay in whatever you're trying to do. But I got out of college and my first job was selling credit card processing services door to door to businesses.
Wow.
And so any merchant or any store that takes a credit card, I was going in there and knocking on their door or talking to their owner and be like, look, maybe I can help you. Maybe I can save you. Maybe you need a new machine. And the worst thing about that particular job, it was August in Houston, Texas. So imagine 102 degrees and 99% humidity, and I'm in a suit and tie every day walking around outside. I'd call it a cathartic experience, but it was probably not. It was more of a learning experience. But I did that for several months, and it really helped me cut my teeth and realize that being outgoing, being gregarious, being enthusiastic and passionate about what you're trying to do, whatever it is, whether you're selling credit card processes or $1 million worth of software to oil and gas companies or your products and services to anybody, being passionate about what you're doing is a lot more effective. And so from that, it led into my career, which was about 10, 11 years in software sales, mostly in technology at a very high level with a lot of corporate clients. And while I was working for one of these organizations, I got into an argument. And so being in sales, I'm always optimistic, right? We're going to make this quarter's numbers. We're going to get these big deals. It's going to be phenomenal. And so I'm always looking for opportunity. And I'm not that smart of a guy. I'm just a very enthusiastic guy. And so I would always take somebody that's much smarter than I am on these sales calls because I needed a technical asset. And so on some of these sales calls, I would take this technical guy, and I'm not going to say his name over the air because I don't think he knows that he was the catalyst for my book, but we went into this meeting, and we had this conversation with our client, and he mentioned that he wanted to expand what we had to offer to 13 of their offices, which meant almost a year worth of training and technical support and going out to offices and doing one-on-one consultations and bringing in data management experts. I can go on and on, but there was dozens of people involved in this effort, and it was going to take a ridiculous amount of work. And so what I saw was huge opportunity. I saw dollar signs, not just for my company, but for myself. And as we're walking out of there, I'm just grinning ear to ear that we're about to land this gigantic deal with this client that hadn't done business with my company in 5 years. As we're walking out, I think this is really exciting. And the guy that I was with goes, what are you talking about? This is going to be horrible. This is going to take so much time and effort. Josh, this is terrible. I can't believe you would sign us up for this. And I couldn't believe, somebody could be so despondent in their role. Who is so dispassionate that you're mad that we're making money?
Right.
It's going to be a lot of work. And I was like, but that's what we're paid to do. It's to develop these sorts of things. It's called business development. We've just brought in a lot of business. And it just stuck with me. He's like, no, this is terrible. And it stuck with me. So I drove back to the office, dropped him off. And then that night I went home and I was sitting by myself at home and I might've had one too many scotch by myself that evening. And I was like, why wouldn't you be enthusiastic about something like this? I mean, this is your one chance that we know of right now on this earth. This is your one chance to really care about what you're doing, really grasp it and be passionate. Or not? And why would you choose to not enjoy it? And so with that in mind, I started just venting like in dictation mode to an iPad that I had sitting in front of me. And over the course of the next 2 years, I would add pieces to it. Just whenever I felt the urge to add something about it, it was all about being enthusiastic, because everybody's passionate about their job on day one. Day one, people get there early. They can't wait to start. They have all these idealistic things that they want to accomplish. And it's day 500 where they're like, I just want to burn this place to the ground. And so, yeah, it's I say that tongue in cheek, but it's true that I think everybody gets to a point where they become complacent in what they're doing, and they lose sight of why they were excited in the first place. And that's kind of the entire genesis of my book. And so when my book came out and it became a bestseller, I decided to quit my 9-to-5 job and pursue helping organizations ensure that all of their employees were passionate about the work that they're doing. And that's kind of where I'm at now. And I've been doing it full-time for about 3 years now, and it's been growing in a ridiculously steady manner, and I absolutely love it because I get to see these transformations in organizations that may have these mediocre teams or these complacent employees, and help them really reclaim the passion that they started their work with. And that's something that I absolutely love to do.
Wow. And yeah, I was going to mention that you work with a lot of businesses, a lot of corporations and organizations. You help their corporate culture. You're also the host of the Corporate Culture Cleaner Show. So what do you talk about?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and it's a fun show. And the name itself, I like it and I hate it. The problem is I do feel like I help companies clean their culture, but nobody wants to hear that they have a problem. Nobody wants to admit that they could do better. Maybe they realize in the back of their mind, or maybe it's like a hushed conversation between a couple of leadership members, but nobody wants to admit that they have a problem or that they have employees that don't care as much as they should. And so it's calling it a cleaner show. It's become tongue-in-cheek, absolutely. And it's hard to get people to really respect the idea that everybody needs a cleaning occasionally, right? I clean my own house, but occasionally I'll still pay somebody to come in and clean my home. And the show itself is really about bringing in interesting ideas and ways to get people re-engaged in their work and in their lives. And so I'll bring in leadership experts. Like, I have the CEO of Club Med Resorts come on my show and talk a little bit about what they do to keep their employees engaged. And what he does is somebody in a leadership role to make sure that his team has everything that they need to really help them maintain the culture, because they've done a phenomenal job of their culture. And so bringing in people that are subject matter experts in the area of company culture and letting them really just share what they're doing within their organizations allows people to kind of borrow from their brain and apply to their own companies. And so that's what I've been doing with that show. And it's been going quite well. I truly enjoy it.
Wow. And I can kind of, as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about business in America and how much it's changed over the course of my lifetime, I'm older than you are. And I can remember some of my first jobs and my dad telling me, remember, honey, the customer is always right. And more than likely, if somebody is really abusive or mean to you, your boss will step up. But otherwise, if they're just a little standoffish or a tiny bit rude or something like that, just let it roll off your back and be personable and polite and think they are right. They're paying for this. It was a different day and a different attitude. Now, we might see that attitude in companies such as Les Schwab here in Oregon or UPS or something like that, where they hustle, where they're polite, where they're clean cut, where they understand that it's customer centric. But I see so many young people, Joshua, who don't seem to have the basic tenets of customer service, let alone just basic manners and etiquette down cold. And so I can see where a lot of what you would do would help toward that mindset.
Absolutely. You're totally right, Tammy. I think that there's a huge gap in, I'm going to call it, personal accountability between generations previous to mine and my generation. And I'm not going to come on your show and just bash millennials. I am one. And I think there's some phenomenal millennials out there that truly care and truly put all of themselves into the work that they do. But I think the ones that don't put their work in, or I guess their time into the work, are much more prevalent. And with social media today, anybody can jump on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and complain about their boss and their job or a client. And we've watched in the media for the past several years of people getting bitten because they'll go online and they'll complain about their boss. And then their boss is like, you didn't realize that we were friends on Facebook? I'm letting you go because you can't say those sorts of things.
Wow.
I think people are starting to be held accountable, but instead of them having personal accountability, it's this social accountability where they'll put something out there, and then people are like, you can't say that about your own company. You know that they're going to see this.
Right.
And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And I mean, as part of the generation, I almost want to defend them for speaking their mind, but I'm appalled at the fact that they can't just bite their tongue and put in their dues, because everybody wants everything right now, right? I think everybody is cursed with the desire, and I'm not saying you're not content, but the desire for more for yourself and for your life and for your family and whatever you might have. But I think my generation in particular hasn't been willing to put in the work. And it's a shock to the system, right? People spend, if you go to a four-year university, you have this utopian experience for 4 years, 5 years if you're me. But this utopian experience, and then you're shoved into a cubicle, and you're like, wait a second, why don't I have a big office like that guy? Why don't I have this monster salary? Why can't I have this and that? And it becomes a realization that you're at the bottom of the pecking order, and people have a hard time dealing with that. And so they lash out on things like social media, right? They complain. They talk back to customers. Now, I had quite a few customer service-oriented jobs growing up through high school and then also through college, and so I knew the necessity for making it them feel served. They're not always right, but they need to feel like they're right.
Exactly.
And not everybody wants to be treated. And here's something that really struck me interesting, because I grew up on the golden rule, right? I was
exactly
raised in a Judeo-Christian household. I grew up, treat people the way I want to be treated. And
yes.
I always want people to be courteous and friendly and nice and smile. But there's people out there that don't want that, which struck me as interesting when I got into the real world, I'll call it, is that we can't necessarily treat people exactly how we want to be treated. We need to treat them like they want to be treated,
yes.
which is a weird kind of twist on that idea, because I've met people that no matter how nice and how, I guess, serving I was towards them, they would never, ever like me. And it's because we weren't a good match personality-wise. And you can't force somebody to like you or appreciate you. You can continually serve them, but if they need to be served a different way, then you need to realize that. I mean, I think everybody's had that manager that is overbearing and doesn't really want to have to walk you through stuff. And then we've all had that other manager, that other boss that really wants to share and to mentor you and show you. And so I've seen these sort of dichotomies, and being aware of it is something that is very valuable. And I think my generation, as well as generations after that, have lost a lot of that interpersonal communication skills. It's only because we're looking at text and videos on our phones instead of having conversations. And we lose a lot of that ability to read people.
Right, right. If you're just joining the show, my guest is Joshua Evans. Joshua is the author of Enthusiastic You, Rediscover Your Passion and Energy, Tools for Success in Daily Life. He's also a motivational speaker. As you can tell listening to him, he gets people excited about doing the right thing. And by doing the right thing, they can also probably increase their bottom line, I would say. Joshua Evans, you do corporate training, and the emphasis includes a number of things. And so I thought I'd run through these, and you could talk about a little bit. Moving toward meaning. Give us a little snippet of what that would include.
So I think a lot of people, especially in the generations that are moving into the workforce now, have a desire for something deeper attached to it. We all want these socially active or at least socially conscious companies, right? It looks good on the self-assessment to work for a company that's green or a company that gives back or does these donation or philanthropic efforts. And I'll admit it feels good as well, right? Knowing that you're doing something that has value outside of just getting a paycheck, it does feel good. But what I'm talking about when I move towards meaning is that too often when we're describing roles to employees, or if it's an employee describing their company to a potential customer, we focus on two things. We focus on what their role is or what the company is, or what the company does or what somebody in that role does. So let's take an individual, right? So say they're a customer support representative, right? So they're answering phones for customer support. Their title is what their job is. They're a customer support representative. That's not exciting to the individual. They know what their role is, though. And then if you talk about what their role does, it'd be, answer phones, answer emails, fix people's problems when they call in, get the customer happy, those sorts of things, the job functions and responsibilities behind it. And that's usually what's in a job description. If you look at a job description, it'll tell you the title, and it'll tell you all the stuff that you're responsible for in that role. And that's good because it gives you a very specific thing to measure against, but that's just what the role is, and that's just what somebody in that role does. And the problem is that doesn't compel people to be emotionally invested or passionate about that role. If we really want to get our teams, somebody that's a leader or a manager within an organization, if you really want to get the people that work for you to love what they do and to put in their full effort, you have to provide them with meaning. You have to give them something deeper than that. They need an emotional connection to it. So let's take that same individual, right? A customer support person. Don't talk about what their role is or what their role does. Talk about what their role means. And what their role means is that somebody on the other end of a phone that is at their wit's end, that needs help, can depend on you. It means that this person who has encountered this problem has a place to go to feel safe and secure and taken care of. It means at the end of the day, that person who needs help, right, the customer that's calling in for support, gets to not only keep their job, but to make the people that they're supporting happy. And that's what somebody in a customer support role really means. That's what that role means. And with that, it also means that the organization itself, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's okay. No, but, go.
But it also means that the person in that role themselves, for their organization, it means that their clients are happy, that they'll maintain business and even grow business because they've done a good job of serving the people. And so it's that attitude of serving other people that can really be valuable. And when you provide meaning to individuals, true meaning, they're going to come into work a lot happier. They're not going to show up late on Monday and leave early on Friday. They're going to want to be there. And that's what I help organizations provide to their employees, is that meaning behind the role, not just what their role is, not just what their role does, but what their role truly means. And when you get to meaning, that's when you truly make an emotional connection between the employee's goals and the company's aspirations.
Okay. So that's good. I can see exactly the point there, and I can see how that would help a business immensely. Now, we have time for just one other point, and you've got a lot of different topics that you cover with companies, with organizations when you speak. One of them is building the right organizational culture. So we've just got about 3 minutes left here. What is the right organizational culture? What are you talking about, Joshua Evans?
That's a great question. So a lot of people think company culture is having bean bags in the break room and free gourmet coffee and, you know, ice cream social Fridays. That's not what culture is at all. Yes, there's a little side benefits, but that's not what a company's culture is. A company's culture is really derived of the emotional feeling of the employees that work there, of every customer that does business with you, and even your competition. It's the emotional attachment that people have to your brand or your company. That's what a culture truly is. And so you hear people talk about Google's culture, where they have sleep pods and, you know, meditation hours. And while those things are great and a lot of people love those sorts of things, that's not what makes their culture the way that it is. It's the individuals and the way that the individuals feel about not only their coworkers, but also the organization and the company itself. That's what culture really is. And what's the perfect culture? Well, it's different for every company. It really is. And it's very unique. And it's always driven by leadership. And that's what culture truly is.
Wow. Well, you know, some really interesting things. And I've thought about this a lot over the years, like you, as I've worked a number of different jobs, and especially when you're young and you get these jobs in the summertime, which a lot of really young people nowadays won't even deign to take, I'm sorry to say, which is sad. But I also know some young people who are good and hard workers. And one of the things you talked about with a younger generation wanting everything now, I frequently quote my father, and because he was really right on a lot of stuff. One of the things he told me constantly was, Tammy, you know you're maturing when you have the ability to postpone immediate gratification for future goals. And too many people, whether they're really young or moderately young or even not so young, have maybe never learned that. It's an art of discipline and setting goals and just heading towards them.
Absolutely. And I think it's ingrained from us from a young age. And especially now, I get upset if I don't get a package from Amazon in 2 days. We want everything right now. And you're right. It's a shame. It really is. I think patience is a lost art.
It certainly is. It really, really is. Joshua Evans, it's been fun having you on the show. I think.
Well, thank you so much.
I hope that there are people listening that might get the opportunity to hear you sometime. I know your website is Joshua Evans or Joshua M. Evans.com. So Joshua M. Evans.com. And you're a speaker, you're a trainer, and you've got your book out that people can read. Enthusiastic You, Rediscover Your Passion and Energy, Tools for Success in Your Daily Life. Joshua, it's been great having you on the show. So nice to meet you.
Well, thank you, Tammy. It's been a pleasure of mine as well. And so I hope you have a great evening. And thank you again for having me on.
You bet. Well, everybody, that's it. It's a wrap. It's another show. I want to thank you for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. We'll be back next week with more great guests. And just a little teaser, I am going to have Al Robertson and his dad, Phil Robertson, the Duck Commander himself. We're working out the appropriate date in July, but that is coming up. You won't want to miss it, so stay tuned. I will be back next week. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang, boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Yeah.